Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Caelum et terra. This is a Latin phrase meaning heaven and earth. It is a phrase that we teach in our home as a part of our Latin curriculum. It's a good phrase, and you don't have to be a Latin scholar just to see how helpful Latin can be. We have two words in our epistle lesson for tonight, celestial and terrestrial. Terra means earth or land. A territory is a land that you have. Caelum, those things celestial, those things heavenly. There are celestial beings and there are terrestrial beings. Heavenly and earthly. God has created us as such. Now, I don't know where you guys stand on UFOs and aliens and Area 51, but I cannot help but notice that now the government wants to attract our attention to it, and so it's probably something that we should quickly discuss and move on. I don't know where you stand, but what I do know is that God has created all things celestial and terrestrial, all things of the heavens and the earth. He is the one that set the planets in motion. He is the one that created the lights of the heavens. On day one, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And on the fourth day, he put that light into balls of fire. He hung the stars to show his handiwork, to show his majesty and his glory. If ever you begin to wonder how you could be the only one existing, how out of all the planets in the whole universe, life could only be on this planet, why would that be? Just remember that this universe is bigger than you are, but so is God. God has created it to show his majesty, his glory. Are there aliens from other terrestrial planets? I don't know. I kind of think not. But what I do know for a fact is that those created beings, the heavenly beings, the incorporeal beings, that is the angels who were made without bodies, of which a full third fell from heaven in that great war, that those third, those which were once the light bearers, as the name Lucifer proclaims, for the name Lucifer means light bearer, for at one time he shone the light of God in his glory until he decided that he wanted the light for himself, until he decided that he was to be his own God, his own ruler, and he was cast down. And the fact is that the hordes of hell that followed him desire us not to be focused on the truth. And so if the demons, if the devil, in conjunction with this world, can get us to focus on things other than Jesus, then they believe that they are winning. And that's all that there is to this. Could there be life somewhere outside of our world? Sure, there could. But I tell you this, there is no more important life than the life here on earth. Because this is the planet where God took on the flesh of his creation. And he walked with us. He walked like one of us, God dwelling in the flesh in his incarnation. This is the only planet in the whole universe where God took on flesh, and seeing the sinfulness of his creation, the fallenness of his creation, he took all of that fallenness to the cross, where he was nailed and suffered and died. You are distinct from all creation. You are above all the creations on this earth. You are even above the angels. I know that it's quite common to believe, and I see this all the time, heaven gained another angel, or believing that when people die, they become angels. But the fact is you don't desire that office. God loved you so much that he became one of you. God did not become an angel. He became a man. He loves you. He loves mankind above all the rest of creation. He has given man dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens. God has created this to proclaim his majesty. You are distinct. Your flesh, the flesh of man, is distinct from the flesh of all the rest of the creation. God has given dominion. He has given lordship over all of these things. People are distinct from the animals. And I know that as they push this evolution, as they push the thoughts that it is inhumane to treat animals as somehow different, I'm not arguing for abuse. These are God's creation. He has given them to us, and we are to be good stewards, godly stewards. God loves all of his creation. But you are distinct. Your pets, as much as you may love them and as much as they may love you unconditionally, are not people. People need Jesus. They are aware of their own awareness. You are made of two things. You are made of flesh, and you are made of a soul. That is how God made us. God made Adam from the dust of the ground. He formed him, and then he breathed life into him. He gave Adam a living soul. Death is now a reality of life because of Adam's failure, because of Adam's fall. Death is the separation from that soul from the body. We often think of heaven as our final resting place. We think that when we die and our soul goes to heaven, that's all that's left. That's all we're looking forward to. But the fact is that that's not all that's left. That's not all that we're looking forward to. The day of resurrection will also come. Yes, there is joy in heaven, but it's not yet. Our full joy will be realized on the day when Christ returns. On the day when the bodies rise from the ground, reunited with the souls, to stand in the new heavens and the new earth and sing his praises without end. Shall we deny the resurrection? God forbid. The last enemy will be destroyed, St. Paul writes in the bigger chapter here of 1 Corinthians 15. Now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Because Jesus Christ was buried, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we too shall rise. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule, all authority, all power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Death is now a reality of life because of the fall. But it's a reality that Jesus Christ has come to undo. Your body will die, but your soul will live on. And in that meantime, your soul will praise him, but it will also be looking forward to and yearning for the day of resurrection. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized? Why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Baptism is a daily death, a daily resurrection. Do you not know that in baptism we die with Christ and are made to newness of life? St. Paul writes in Romans 6. Someone will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Foolish one. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. Your flesh is distinct from the flesh of those birds, from the flesh of those fish, from the flesh of all the creeping things, because your flesh is the flesh that God took on himself. Your flesh is the flesh that nails pierced, that spear pierced, that a crown of thorns pierced. And that flesh was taken from his back as he was whipped. The words toward the end of our epistle lesson are words that are often recited at the graveside. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. I do not fully comprehend how Christ will work the resurrection, how Christ will make our bodies as though they will never crumble again. But I do know that the scriptures are clear enough to say that the body that you have right now, the lips that you have praised him with, the ears that you have heard him with, that those same things will be yours in the resurrection. But the ears that became deaf, the ears that became hard to hear, the throat that found it hard to utter his praises, all those things will pass. Your lips will never grow tired. Your ears will never miss out on hearing a single word. That is what we look forward to. But church, dear church, there is close to hell that we have to endure before it comes. Our gospel lesson from Sunday, as Jesus proclaimed what would happen as he prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem, he points also forward to the events not yet come. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know its desolation is near. That has happened, but it will happen again. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people. I read to you from Josephus on Sunday, and I said that there was much left in Josephus that I did not include because of the mixed company. That absolutely happened in the destruction of Jerusalem. But don't think that it isn't happening around our world, and don't think that it won't continue to happen. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. The fact that there is more slavery today, including of children, than there has ever been, should tell you something. And the fact that they do everything that they can to cover that up should also tell you something. There is bondage, but those bondage, that chain, that is broken by the word of Jesus. He sets us free from these things. Jerusalem will be trampled, and the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity. How often does your news media tell you that there is war going on? How often does it want you to be so afflicted in your hearts that you never know where to turn? That you are always on high alert? This will only continue. The sea and the waves are roaring. Men's hearts will fail them from fear. Dear church, do not let your hearts fail. The devil wants your hearts to fail. The devil wants your hearts to turn away from Jesus and rather focus on the things of this world. Do not let him do it. The expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. These things have to happen. They've happened in the past, and they will continue to happen until the day that Jesus comes. Do not live your life just for tomorrow here on earth. Live your life for Jesus. Let others see Jesus, because Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming soon. Rejoice in his gifts. Receive them. Take heart. Do not grow weary. Do not grow faint. The church sings. O Jesus Christ, do not delay, but hasten our salvation. We often tremble on our way in fear and tribulation. O hear and grant our fervent plea. Come, mighty judge, and set us free from death and every evil. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.